the interesting things about the gym for me was that was the class mixture, because there are people, upper class, middle class, lower class, however those vague words, but people from all classes, and they got along. Everybody got along.
Frederick Wiseman, who has been making documentary films since 1966, spent about 100 hours in Lord's Gym in Austin, Texas, filming his most recent documentary titled Boxing Gym. He was particularly impressed by the concern those in the ring and outside it expressed for each other.
I mean, and there's one point in the gym where a young boxer says to a newcomer at the gym, you know, we all try to help each other out here, and even though it's a violent sport, nobody can be violent unnecessarily. We all try to cooperate and collaborate.
I spoke with Frederick Wiseman recently in his Cambridge, Massachusetts studio, which is cluttered with canisters of film, posters for various movies, and a lot of awards. Mr. Wiseman cheerfully acknowledged that he began this project with a general feeling that he liked boxing. He became fond of the man who owns and runs the Texas gym, Richard Lord, and admired Lord's inclination to welcome anybody who was interested in training there, an inclination that's apparent throughout the movie. There were a lot of kids in there, and not just kids boxing. There were babies in this film, people who brought their little tiny babies in little chairs, and they sat and slept while Mommy worked out.
Right. That's part of the attitude that Richard Lord fostered among the people who came to the gym. You come, you know, bring your baby, keep an eye on your baby, and work out if you want. In that case, it was practically a newborn.
Of course, not everyone in this film is counting on the gym for child care. From time to time, Wiseman's all-seeing camera finds somebody whose presence seems less surprising.
I even love getting hit, dude. Getting hit in the chin, dude, getting buzzed. I love being buzzed. Put my hands up and coming with that right. Boom, landed one right there, backing them off, you know?
Right.
Love taking one right across the chin. I love the buzz.
I love coming out of here and feeling like I've done something different, you know, something new. That's good.
I just like the buzz it gives you, because you don't know quite where you are, but you know you got to fight to get out of where you are.
Of course there's a point of view, and there is a directorial point of view. These movies are made, in a sense, in the reverse way of Hollywood movies. Hollywood movie, or normal fiction movie, you start with a script, and you shoot the script. And while there may be some improvisation or some variation from the script, in my movies, I go in with absolutely no script. But over the course of anywhere from 4 to 12 weeks, shoot anywhere from 75 to 150 hours. And I find the film in the editing. There's the old bromide about the sculptor finding the statue under the stone. I find the film under the rushes. It's almost musical. In fact, it is musical. I mean, the whole sound of the gym is musical.
Yeah.
And I tried to preserve that in the editing of the film.
At Lord's Gym, Frederick Wiseman found the percussion of gloves against the heavy bag and the staccato rhythm of the speed bag, the shuffle and stride of shadow boxers, and the grunts and gasps of people getting into shape, or trying to do that, or fooling themselves into thinking it could happen again. Some of Wiseman's audience will be surprised at how little actual boxing occurs during the film.
The people you see in the movie are people that like boxing as a sport and like the training, the physical training that's involved in boxing. And once a week at the gym, there was sparring. And you see at the end of the film people sparring, and the sparring is a bit more violent than the shadow boxing, obviously.
Much more violent. In fact, there's one particular sequence where a guy really gets rocked. They have helmets on in the sparring, but a guy really gets rocked with a shot to the head. And I was watching it all by myself at my home, and I went, yay, when I saw that.
Yeah, well, because that's the first time in the film anybody really gets hit. And so it's hard and you're surprised by it, you feel the hit.
Over the past 44 years, during which he has made 36 documentaries, Frederick Wiseman has maintained the same patient and disciplined approach to his work. Each film is different, of course, but he's found that one particular theme has surfaced as many of the films have revealed themselves during his editing process. His first documentary, Titicut Follies, presented the day-to-day routines of a hospital for the criminally insane in Bridgewater, Massachusetts.
Titicut Follies is about people who have committed the most violent acts imaginable. or many of the people at Bridgewater had. Law and Order is about, which is a film about the Kansas City police. It's about how the police try to contain and control violent behavior. Juvenile Court is a film about adolescents who have committed deviant or violent acts gets punished. The domestic violence is obviously domestic violence between people. And then the military films, Basic Training, Maneuver, and Missile, are about the state's monopoly of violence in the service of protecting the interests of the state. So one aspect of boxing is that it's ritualized and controlled violence.
Some of Frederick Wiseman's films have been controversial. Titicut Follies was banned in Massachusetts for 25 years, allegedly for violating the privacy of its subjects. Wiseman says it was because of worries that it would embarrass the people who'd granted him permission to make the film. But Boxing Jim is not likely to outrage or embarrass anyone involved. It doesn't feel like an expose, but rather like an exploration of the complexity of a culture in which aggression is less apparent than cooperation, and in which the ambitions of those who feel they're on the way up are contrasted with the delusions of those who fail to accept that their most glorious days are behind them.
I think if I train consistently, keep on working hard, I could get him in the future, no problem.
That's exactly what I told Richard Lloyd. I want to fight my opponent, man. The guy I lost to, the last guy I lost to.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I lost. I only lost.
There's a lot of fantasy, and a lot of I'm really going to do it tomorrow. I mean, it's like the characters in The Iceman Cometh. that is sad. I found it sad. And everybody's going to win become a world champion tomorrow or beat the guy that beat you 3 years ago. And it's sad, it's sustaining, and you have, at least I had the sense that it's never going to happen.
Despite the depiction of that sadness, Richard Lloyd, who tells all potential clients that Lloyd's gym operates strictly on a cash up front basis, was happy with the film.
He and his wife and his son came up here as soon as I finished the movie, and I showed it to them, and they liked it, which, of course, pleases me.
I wonder if he's going to get a gigantic rush of interest, of people pounding on the door, say, hey, I want to come in here, too. He's going to have to take plastic if he's not careful.
I think he's capable of dealing with whatever happens.
When I asked Frederick Wiseman whether he feels empty or let down after he's finished the months and months of editing his films require, he smiled and acknowledged that he did. But he told me that since he began making films in 1966, he's never paused for long.
Yeah, there's always postpartum depression. But once I became aware of it, I started planning the next film 2 or 3 months before I thought I was going to finish the one I'm working on so that I can take a short break and you know, go skiing or something and then get started again. Because I like to work. And it's true, because you work very, very intensely and long hours, and then suddenly it's over. So it's good to both take a break, and it's good, particularly for me, to have something else to do right away.
So what is the next project?
The next project is a movie about a nightclub in Paris, which I'm in the midst of editing at the moment.
Terrible hard work, but somebody has to do it.
Somebody has to do it, that's right.
Boxing Jim, which has been showing in selected theaters this fall, will be screened today in Rochester, New York, and at the DeBartolo Performing Arts Center on the campus of Notre Dame University. Next week, you can catch it in Hartford, Connecticut, Columbus, Ohio, or Jackson, Mississippi. Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Jack Flagler is our intern, and we had help this week from Paul Vikas, Jim Kiesling, and Jared Mooney. Our senior producer is Gary Wallace. To view our photo galleries, subscribe to the Only a Game podcast, listen to archived chosen stories, or learn more about our weekly music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from Frederick Wiseman, who remembers his idea for a follow-up to Titicut Follies.
And it seemed to me that a logical follow-on to a prison for the criminally insane was a high school.
Yeah, but how did he know so much about what it was like for me in high school? I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.